The word today is resurrection. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. One of the basic teachings of Christianity is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. His suffering and death on the cross would be meaningless without him rising from the dead to prove that he is true God. Here to review how Jesus paid for our sins and conquered death is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Resurrection.
We have just celebrated the marvelous festival of the resurrection, Easter Sunday. Now, I say we just celebrated that. It might be a month ago. It might be 5 months ago. It all depends on when you're going to be hearing this, as this broadcast is taped and then is played for you around the world. We have 43 countries that are listening into this in their own language. That's fantastic. God has expanded this ministry of the Word Today to such a great degree that right now it is in 43 languages around the world. And so it might be a half a year since you celebrated Easter. It might only be a few weeks ago that you celebrated Easter. Whatever part of the world you are and wherever you're hearing this broadcast, the most important thing to recognize is that the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is the foundation stone of the Christian faith. In other words, what good would it be to know that Jesus Christ came to this earth, suffered and died in our place, died on the cross to earn the forgiveness of sins for us? What good would it be if it weren't for his resurrection? And therefore, the festival year, the festival day, the most important of all, is that Jesus Christ has conquered death. He rose from the dead. You know, it's very important to understand that, because if you bump into somebody that claims to be a Christian and they don't believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that he rose again, they are definitely not a Christian. Even if they say they are, if they deny the resurrection and deny the deity of Jesus, they are not a Christian. So I want to underline that and stress that the most important teaching in the entire Bible is that Jesus Christ is true God. He is the Son of God, the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the true triune God. The Son, Jesus Christ, came to this earth to die in our place, paid for our sins, suffered death, and was resurrected again from the dead and lives eternally with the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven, and one day will return again to us. We call that Judgment Day. And all the dead will rise from their graves just as Jesus rose from the grave, and we too will be given eternal life. Now, not everyone's going to be saved, just those that believe in Jesus Christ and have their forgiveness through him. The dead will all rise, including the unbelievers, but the unbelievers will not have eternal life. The unbelievers will rise from the dead and will be sent into hell for the rejection of Jesus, for the lack of faith that they do not believe in Jesus as their personal Savior. And since they do not, they have their sins remaining, and because of that, they are condemned by God. There will only be those two choices. Those who believe in Jesus Christ for their forgiveness, they will be saved. Those who reject that faith and reject Jesus, they will be damned. And those are the only two possibilities of eternity: in heaven with God or in hell with Satan. Now, since this is the most fundamental basic doctrine of the Christian faith, I think it would be good to take a look at the Holy Scriptures. And what I'd like to have you jot down, if you have a sheet of paper handy, or you can remember this in your mind also if you're driving your car or something, remember the first letter of St. Paul to the church at Corinth. We call that first letter 1 Corinthians. And the key chapter, the most important chapter, is the 15th chapter of his first letter to the Corinthian church. And as a matter of fact, in that chapter 15, he stresses the urgency of understanding that it was this basic fact that Christ rose from the dead, conquered death, and has given us the assurance that we too shall conquer death. There is going to be a physical death. You know, you have to, when you're talking about death, it would be important to make sure you understand there is a physical death. That's when your spirit is separated from your body. We call that a physical death. Then there is also a spiritual death. That's called unbelief. That's when a person does not believe in Jesus Christ. They can be physically alive and spiritually dead. This is a frightening thing, because if they don't come to life spiritually, the conversion, the renewal of a relationship with God, and come to faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, if they remain in unbelief, they will end up suffering eternal death, and that's damnation. That's when you rise from the dead and you go to hell because of rejecting the gift of salvation, rejecting Jesus Christ. So as you get into the first letter of St. Paul, chapter 15, to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he writes about this, and he explains it in detail. He goes through it in detail. I think one of the most important things to understand there is that he proves the resurrection. He says, for instance, and before I get into that, let me just say to you that I've had the privilege of traveling around the world. I have been in so many marvelous places, and I have seen the tombs of some of these great leaders, Muhammad and others, and I have seen, for instance, the little square hole in the mummy of Muhammad, for instance, where they have cut away what was originally skin and so on, so that you could see his corpse inside. I have seen these things. I want you to understand that these other religious prophets and these other religious leaders were not in the same category as Jesus Christ. They might have thought they were. They were promising people different things and teaching different things. They probably all claimed that they would come back, but the fact is only one of them came back from the dead, and that was Jesus Christ. Only one of them has conquered death. Only one of them lives eternally, and that's the true God, Jesus Christ. So when you're talking about faith, and when you're talking about life again after death, you're talking about only one possibility, and that's Jesus Christ giving you eternal life as a gift of salvation and the forgiveness of all your sins. Now, as we were talking about St. Paul and how he was writing to that church in Corinth, you know, he started that church. St. Paul actually went there and founded this little church. They had a lot of troubles there. They had a lot of problems. They were having a problem with Holy Communion, for instance. You can read about that in the 11th chapter of his letter. And they were having all kinds of difficulties. Some of them were doubting all kinds of things, not just the resurrection. They were doubting all kinds of problems. Some of them didn't know what to think of St. Paul. They were having lawsuits. They were having sexual immorality. There was a lot of jealousy and bickering going on in that congregation. And Paul was very troubled by this little congregation there. And so he wrote his letter. And as a matter of fact, it helped. There was a response. And yet, Paul, at this time when he was writing, he was in Ephesus. It was about 55 A.D., when he wrote this letter, and it helped to solve some of the problems, and he also made a hurried trip there in person and spent some time with them. He followed this by a stronger letter even, which is called 2 Corinthians, the second time that he wrote to the people there, and in each occasion he kept stressing the importance of remembering Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. He is the risen Lord. Now, even later in his life before he died, Paul went back to Corinth again for a last time. We find that out in Acts, the 20th chapter. verses 1 to 4 refer to his last trip that he made back to Corinth. Well, at any rate, one of the things that Paul tried to clarify for them was the importance of realizing that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And it wasn't that you had to just take his word for it, you know, although he was hoping that they would certainly do that also, since he was telling them the truth, but that many had seen Jesus after he rose from the dead. In fact, all those appearances are recorded here. In fact, the Gospels, as we know them, that they had access to, knew, for instance, in John, they knew that Mary Magdalene had seen Jesus after he rose from the dead. You remember that occasion. He had just risen, and he came and he showed Mary Magdalene who he was. You remember first she thought he was the gardener, and then Jesus identified himself to her. And you can read about that in the 20th chapter of John. And then, you know, even before that, when the women were returning to the tomb and they were going to, first of all, embalm the body and so on, according to the Jewish custom, you remember when they were returning from the tomb, that's in Matthew 28, verses 9 and 10, and how they were talking, you know, who's going to roll the stone away, that very heavy stone that they put in front of the tomb, who's going to roll that away? And you can recall the amazement they found when all of a sudden they get there to the tomb and the tomb is open, the stone has been rolled away, and then they see the angel who announces to them that Jesus is not here. You shouldn't be seeking someone who is alive, like Jesus now, among the dead. He's no longer among the dead. He's the living, and he's going before you into Galilee. And he gives them that entire message. I also like the reference, which you can find in the 24th chapter of Luke, about Jesus when he talks to the two disciples that are on the road to Emmaus. That must have been a marvelous discussion. You know, we have no chance to hear those words because they aren't recorded for us, but Jesus showed to them that he was alive. All these appearances were from Jesus to his disciples that they knew he was risen.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.